Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Well, we are moving into what is a key and pivotal month in the life of our church. And over the years, we've kind of ran with building the generations. Then, of course, there was expansion offering. Now we're kind of leaning into the 2020 vision, kind of all the same, but just keeping it fresh and vision focused. And of course, if you're new to the church, what that means is that every year in the month of June, we have an emphasis on giving and generosity. For God so loved the world that he gave. And so it's a reflection of our heart and our love for what God wants to do in our church and also through our church. And a number of years ago, our church went through a major building upgrade, which of course you get to enjoy every single week. Cold outside, warm in here. And of course our kids' facilities, etc. And slowly but surely we are on a journey of believing God that we will pay off the loan that was taken back then. And we are right on track to do that in Jesus' name. That's our number one priority financially, is to get to a place where we can see that reduce significantly. And as we're doing that, more and more resource has been invested into the ministry arms of our church. So our youth and our kids and everything else that goes with it, to make sure that we are advancing the kingdom of God in the Shire and beyond in Jesus' name. So, of course, the brochure has all of that information in it, and there's some beautiful graphs for you to see. The ones that need to go up are going up, and the ones that need to go down are going down. And so we thank God for your faithfulness and your generosity, and we're doing this together as a team in Jesus' mighty name. And, of course, what that means is that this is the most significant give in our church, and we need to rise together in faith. And that's coming up on Sunday, the 23rd of June. And that gives us an opportunity between now and then to be able to pray, to fast, and to ask God what he would have us to do in faith in Jesus' name. And so can I encourage you, grab the brochure, read it. It's an amazing brochure designed by the one and only Mandy Andrews. And I think it's the best one that we've got so far. And if we could just unite our faith and come together and believe God for a supernatural miracle, that would be deeply appreciated. Can you say amen? And we're seeing the fruit of our giving. As an example, just on Friday night in our youth ministry, we had over 30 commitments to Christ on a normal youth night, which is absolutely amazing. And that's because of your generosity. Can you say amen? Oh, come on, about three of us are excited. Can you say amen? So, so good. Let's open up our Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. We're going to read probably one of my more favorite parables, Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. I have leaned into this parable in the past, but fresh revelation has come. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. I'm excited to be preaching for the next four Sunday mornings. And bring on the Bible. Amen. Oh, I need it. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 says, another parable, that is Jesus speaking to a group of people, he put forth to them. A parable is essentially an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus spoke in parables also because the idea of the parable was to leave the reader or the hearer with a mindset that is there to spark an idea of, I need to research this further. I need to dig deeper into what I've just heard or read. Another parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven. Here we go. So Jesus is trying to explain to these people what his kingdom is like. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Verse 32, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. So Jesus is explaining to us what his Father's kingdom is like, the culture of the kingdom of God. He starts off by teaching us that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which at that time was considered, in their understanding, their paradigm, to be the smallest or the least of all seeds. Now, if you were to go to Mr. Google and type in a mustard seed, you will soon find, don't do it now because we're reading the Word of God, you will soon find that a mustard seed is a tiny, tiny seed. In fact, I did some research this week on a mustard seed, and a mustard seed in diameter on average is between 1 and 2 millimeters. So Jesus is trying to explain to us that this seed, his kingdom, at the start of this journey, it's small, considered to be insignificant, considered to be unimportant and minute. But it goes on to say in verse 32, it's the least of all seeds, or considered to be the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs. And look at the process of becoming. It becomes a tree. So Jesus is saying something that is to be considered or considered unimportant, minute, insignificant, becomes great, and in fact becomes a tree. So Jesus is trying to spark in us or startle us to hear what he's saying, and he's asking us to consider a question, and that question is, how is it that something that is so small could become the largest? Now, of course, the application of that is very simple, and it's really essentially speaking to us of the growth of the kingdom of God. It started with an unknown teenage girl by the name of Mary, who had an angelic visitation. She was not popular. She was not known. She was not on front of no magazine. She didn't have 3 million followers on Instagram. She was an unknown person, insignificant, but yet God chose her. And a little child was born in a manger in Bethlehem. No kings, no important people came to the birth of this child. It was considered insignificant, unimportant. This little baby grew, and of course we know him as Jesus Christ. He called 12 disciples, and for the most part they had no reputation. They were unknown, unregarded, and this little band of 12 was told to go and win an entire world for him. Well, Jesus leaves, and he leaves that charge with these 12. And from this small beginning, this insignificant beginning, this minute beginning in a place called Israel, came about an extraordinary large entity and this dynamic expansion of the kingdom of God has spread across the globe. It's worldwide. And it started with a teenage girl by the name of Mary. Now you think about the growth of the kingdom. How many songs have been sung over the years about Jesus? How many sermons have been preached? How many sermons will be preached in this 24-hour period across the globe about Jesus? How many paintings have been painted about Jesus? How many prayers will be prayed this week across the globe to Jesus? How many people have listened or will listen to a Christian broadcast of some sort, whether it be on radio or television across the globe? There has been a worldwide expanse of the kingdom of God, but it started with a little seed, a mustard seed. You think about how many people over the generations have sung the song Amazing Grace. How many people across the globe right now own a Bible? Or two or three or four or five or six or seven. How many scriptures will be quoted this week? How many scriptures will be read this week? Where did it start? It started with a mustard seed. A little mustard seed. So how many of you know that a lot can come from a mustard seed? So we see this growth, that expanse of the kingdom of God, which we thank God for, but today, how does that actually apply to you and I? Well, it applies to us with simply this, and that is Christianity and the message of the gospel had humble beginnings. In recent times, we've been looking at our church's 70th birthday, and it's been amazing to watch the videos. It's been amazing to see the old footage. How many of you know this church started with humble beginnings? And it's important for us to remember, not only as a church, but as individuals, our humble beginnings, lest we become too proud and too judgmental of other people. And the idea of the mustard seed is to let us know that everything that God is doing in our lives and through our lives is not because of how brilliant we are and the way that God has blessed you. I'm sure you're an amazing person, and the influence that God has given to you, I'm sure you're very gifted and talented, but I love what Psalm says, Psalm 118 verse 23. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The mustard seed is there to teach us and to help us understand. Don't forget your humble beginnings. The amazing wife that you had or have, that is the Lord's doing. The amazing husband you have, those kids you have, that is the Lord's doing. The business that you've built, that is the Lord's doing. The home that you will go into today after church and enjoy a view or enjoy a nice cup of tea and relax, that is the Lord's doing. Don't forget humble beginnings, because it stops us from getting too proud, too elevated, too significant, and we give the glory to God for the good things that He has done. So we thank God for humble beginnings. Can you say amen? This humble beginning of the kingdom of God, unknown teenage girl, all of a sudden comes this most incredible growth of the kingdom of God, worldwide expansion, worldwide influence. Incredible when you actually stop to think about the growth of the kingdom of God. It is truly remarkable. Goes on to say in verse 31 again, another parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Now look at where he takes this mustard seed. Where does he sow it? He sows it into, church, his field. So good. Field, of course, is talking about the world. So it's speaking to us, or I could say it excludes the idea of chance sowing. So it's not a poker machine, you know, kind of dropping a couple of coins, hopefully, come on, I'm going to win. It's not luck. It's not by chance or happenstance. It's not a fluke. This was an intentional seed that was sown into the earth. Why? Because of His love for you. He had a plan. He had a purpose. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Look at what 1 Peter 1 verse 20 says. It says, God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't by accident. This was an intentional deliberate, thought-out plan for God to win you to himself. This is not chance sowing. This is intentional. His love for you is so strong and so great. He had a plan of how he could win your heart. He brought the right Christians around you at the right time in the right place so that your heart would be able to receive the seed of the Word of God, that it might grow and it might bear fruit, that you would open your heart to Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Can you say amen? Now, I want you to notice the growth of the kingdom. There's this process of becoming. There's this process of, it's not a chance, it's not happenstance. God had a plan of winning you back to himself. Well, this tree grows, and it's done incredibly well across the globe. Can you say amen? Many more that are yet to find comfort and shelter. And the gospel is continuing to spread every tribe, every nation, every tongue. Amen? Now, when Alison and I got married, we went on our honeymoon, of course, and we went to the south of WA. One of the things that we did in the south of WA is we went to a place called Pemberton. Pemberton is known for its trees. I have to let you know, I'm not a tree person, but I've, over time, after going to the Daintree, realized I love trees. And we're in Pemberton, and you know, in Pemberton, they've got these most magnificent trees. They grow up to 58 meters in height. I mean, the width of the tree is spectacular. You can just stand and stare at the trees. Because the magnificence of what you're beholding, you realize, oh my goodness, God is absolutely incredible, right? Now, it started with a seed. There was this process of becoming. God had an intentional plan. This seed grew and grew and grew. And look at what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that it became the largest of trees. It was greater than the herbs. It became a large tree. Now, if we were to follow the process, you could almost assume that the growth and the maturity of the tree, well, it's done its part. It's grown, it's become, and it's reached its full potential. But the Holy Spirit, God in his wisdom, adds another dynamic to this, and it's what we call the mark of maturity. So the question is, how do you measure maturity? Is a tree measured in its maturity by its size? And according to Jesus, not so. Jesus says in verse 32, it's the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs. It reaches its potential. But watch the mark of maturity, so that the birds of the air would nest in its branches. So you have a large, visible, amazing tree that has incredible reach. But Jesus says, I'm going to add one more thing to this so that you actually know what the mark of maturity is. The mark of reaching your potential is so that the birds of the air would nest in its branches. Now, the disciples, Jesus is trying to spark something in them, and he's trying to say to them that the growth of the tree reaching its potential, being visible across the globe or across a city or across a nation, is not the final goal. The final goal is have the birds of the air come and nest it in its branches. So our goal then as a church is not visibility. Our goal as a church is not to be this 58-meter tree in Pemberton that everyone's like, wow, what a tree. The goal is the birds of the air nesting in its branches. The Bible speaks a lot about this. Well, a couple of things real quick, and then we'll move into where the Holy Spirit wants to take us today. When you think about the growth of the tree, branches spreading out, reaching across the globe, the growth of the kingdom of God, why? Well, birds essentially, of course, use trees to what? To find a home, to make a home, to find a place of safety, security, comfort, shelter. We can be a large tree, but unless people are coming to our church and to our life groups and our spaces and places where we connect, where they find a home, we might be visible, we might be large, but we're not mature. Maturity is, have the birds found a home. Amen. So, so good. We also discover about the spread of the tree in the kingdom of God and its reach, its influence. Well, Psalms actually speaks about it. Psalm 104, verse 12 said, by them, the birds of the heavens have their home. And it says, they sing among the branches. So here we have this tree, not only a place and a space where others come and find a home, but look at what they're doing. They're singing amongst the branches. Well, I did some research this week about why do birds sing? There was a number of reasons. But what was apparent is all these amazing bird people said that birds sing as a sign that they are content and happy, and it just feels like singing a song. Why do we sing? Because we're content, we're happy in the Lord. I raise a hallelujah. Come on. In the presence of my enemies. Come on. Why are we doing that? Because we're content. We have found in the presence of God safety, shelter, comfort, a home under the protection of the Almighty, and we sing a song to Him. Daniel tells us about this tree. Daniel prophesies and he says this. Oh, you're going to like this one this morning. It had fresh green leaves. Woo! It was loaded with fruit. Watch this. For all to eat. For God so loved the world. Amen. For all to eat. Wild animals live in its shade. Amen. That wild young person, they're coming back to Jesus and they're going to find shade and shelter. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shelter of the Almighty. They belong to Jesus. That's a word for someone this morning. And the birds nested in its branches. How good is that? Here we go. All the world. Come on, this is the growth of the kingdom. All the world. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every village, every city, all the world was fed from this tree. Amen. Well, Ezekiel, he thought, I'm going to prophesy to this tree as well. Ezekiel 31 verse 6 says, the birds nested in its branches. Amen. And its shade, all the wild animals gave birth. Here we go. All the great nations of the world lived in its shadow. Come on, all, not just some, all the great nations, all, we prophesy that, we speak that as a church, all the great nations of the world, one to Jesus Christ, living in the shadow or under the shadow of the Almighty. Can you say amen? What started as a small seed with the most humblest of beginnings is spreading. The kingdom is growing. And the scripture says, of his kingdom there shall be no end. It's growing. People are being reached. Young people are being reached. Villages are being reached. Because there's enough vitality in this tree that every single tribe, tongue, and nation can find a home under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, we think about this tree, and you realize, particularly living in the Shire, because we have a lot of trees in the Shire, and that is, trees do not have the ability, stay with me, to discriminate, do they? They can't say, and these birds are wild. The longer I've lived in the Shire, I've become more and more scared of cockatoos. They're like just cray cray, and it's like boom, they'll attack you. A tree cannot say, you know what? We really like kookaburras as a tree. Those cockatoos, they're gone, right? Oh, the tree can't say, we really like rosellas. Kookaburras, they're too loud. I'm trying to sleep. A tree does not have the ability to discriminate. What's my point? My point is the gospel is free for all. Jesus loves everybody. Come and find a home. Come and find a place to rest. Come and be found in Jesus Christ. Come to him and receive his love and his grace and his kindness and his forgiveness. Come to Jesus. So here's my point. All are welcome. That's the beauty of this tree. It's not about your age. It's not about your gender. It's not about your background. It doesn't matter if you are the worst of all sinners. It doesn't matter. All are welcome to the tree to find a home. In Jesus' name. So our 2020 vision then is a decade of harvest. We are simply partnering with Jesus' heart, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So we're not giving because we have to. We're not giving because it's the thing we've always done. We're giving because there is a spread of the gospel that's taking place across our city, across our shire, and across the nations of the world. And we are simply partnering with the tree that is spreading and reaching homes and reaching villages and reaching cities and reaching communities, so that the birds of the air would nest in its branches. For me, this gift is about a significant turning of the page in our church. As our church continues to reduce debt and move into this next decade, this gift for me, prophetically, I prophesy in Jesus' name, is a dynamic shift that's taking place in our church so that we can get on with kingdom business. Come on, more people who need the love of God, more families who need the love of God, more people who need to experience what we experienced in worship today, more people who can receive communion and experience healing and forgiveness and truth, because the birds of the air need to nest in its branches, in Jesus' name. So today, church, can I encourage you? This is not a burden. This is not a have to. This is not a, oh, here we go again, building the generations. They keep changing it all the time. I'm getting confused. What does it all mean? This is about people. This is about lives changed. Come on, this is about the love of Jesus reaching our community and beyond. And we partner with God's program. He'll bless us for doing what's actually in his heart. Can you say amen? Amen. If our musicians and singers could come, that would be fantastic. In a moment, we're just going to move into a time of worship, and we're just going to ask the Lord to prepare us for June 23rd. But Of course, the most important thing in our service today is to give people an opportunity who've never opened up their heart to God and received Jesus Christ into their lives as their Lord, friend, personal Savior, to understand what it means to be forgiven of sin, to understand what it means to be clean, to have your past washed away. This love that we're talking about this morning, this tree, I know it's a metaphor, it's a figure of speech, but it's there to describe a place where you can find shelter and love and security. It's something that I can't give to you, but I know someone who can. His name is Jesus Christ. So in a moment, what we're going to do is we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes, and we're going to pray a prayer that invites Jesus Christ to come into our lives. And I'm going to ask everyone in the auditorium to repeat this prayer after me. Maybe it's the first time you've prayed this prayer. Maybe you did some time back and today you're reconnecting with the love of God. But wherever you stand, maybe you don't know today that if you were to die, you don't know where you would go. And so today you can have assurance of God's love for you, that you would be with Him in eternity. So let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. And why don't you pray this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Change me and come into my heart and be my Savior. I receive your forgiveness, your love, and complete acceptance. I am now set free from my past. I am now a child of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you've never prayed that prayer before, or you did a long time ago, or today you need assurance of God's love for you, in a moment I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. The reason why I want you to lift up your hand is, well, firstly, it's an acknowledgement that you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you're reconnecting with God's love. The other reason why I want you to lift up your hand is so that it gives me the opportunity to see who you are. There's a few trusted people in the auditorium who belong to our church who are also helping me to see. Sometimes it's difficult to see everybody. And so in a moment, I want you to put up your hand. And the reason why is because I want to pray for you. Are you ready? On the count of three, here we go. One, two, three. Lift it up nice and high. I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. If you prayed that prayer, thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Lift it up nice and high. I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. God bless you. I see your hand as well. Who else is there? I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you did a long time ago, and you're reconnecting with the love of God. So good, so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So Father, we just thank you for these people that have raised their hands today. We thank you for new beginnings. Thank you that the Word of God says, if any of us be in Christ, we are new creations. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We speak it and declare it in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. So, so good. Church, we're going to worship just for a few minutes. And while we're worshiping, you know, many of you have been giving into the decade of harvest, or the building the generations and so on, for many, many years. And I just want to honor you and thank you. But can I say this to you? Let's not grow weary while doing good. Come on, let's not grow weary while doing good. God gives seed to the sower, all right? And as we continue to sow, the Bible says He gives us more seed. And so let's keep changing lives together. Our church is moving forward in strength and we are bearing fruit and people are being touched. And this is only the beginning of the great things that God is doing in our church. What God has done in our church in the time that Pastor Allison and I have had the opportunity to serve you in the 5.5 years has been a miracle. I'm telling you, what's about to happen in the next 5 years will only double and triple in strength, in size, and in influence. Why? To the glory of God, because the tree is growing and more people have been touched with the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Church, let's stand up and let's just begin to worship Him. And you can take this home with you, by the way, it belongs to you, and stick it up on your fridge and put it wherever you need to see it, and begin to pray and ask God what He would have you to do as we get ready for June 23rd. Can we worship him just for a few moments? Is that all right?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.